All right, then.
And Mr. Chairman,
in favor, sir?
Yes, sir.
Come right up.
Sir, show of hands before we do opposition.
Yeah, okay.
So that they know we don't have to speak necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
Joe Hockner, City of Lewis. There's one in every crowd. Not so much in favor, just basically neutral, which is a category beyond pro and con. Neutral.
Yeah.
I'm interested in collecting information.
Yeah.
A little bit about my credentials. I'm a former store planner with JCPenney. Started as a junior draftsman, promoted to regional store planner in Pittsburgh. Worked for a real estate development company in Pittsburgh for 12 years. Worked for a real estate developer in Baltimore for another 6 years. One of the big items for improving property values is convenience to shopping. That's one of the key things. Basically, we need something like this. We need a shopping center to take the pressure off of downtown Lewis. The chuckles. These projects take so long to get off the ground and going. What we're looking at is the number of houses in the vicinity. By the time everything gets going, a lot of us may be dead by then. But there is a need for this center. And the way it's presented tonight, it answered a lot of my questions. I am curious about what the traffic impact study will do, specifically in the widening of Kings Highway. And in lieu of traffic lights, I like traffic circles. But that's the extent of it. But I'm the voice crying out in the wilderness now.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else like to speak in favor? In favor? Okay.
My name is Ted Nowakowski, Jr. I'm a lifelong resident of the Lewis Rehoboth area. I live in the Glade. I own a lot in Hawkseye and will be building a house there in the near future. I'm in favor of this project for two different reasons. I've had the privilege of working with these gentlemen for a number of years and all the developments that they've done. I'm their landscaper. They have always done things in a very tasteful manner. They have never let price come into the picture. They've always wanted to blend all of their projects into the surrounding areas. I have the utmost confidence that they will do this in what they're going to do there. And not only that, I think economic-wise, it will create new jobs for young people with benefits and will greatly help and enhance the area. Thank you.
All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor? Yes, sir.
Kevin Clavey. I'm a local builder in the area, but more importantly, I live on Gills Neck Road in Wolf Point. And it's exciting. It's exciting for my kids. It's exciting for the families that live there that, you're seeing this whole thing starting to take shape. It's its own little town that's It's just a unique center. It'd be nice not to have to go out on Route 1 all the time, not to mention the value of the jobs and the Lewis. And again, taking away from Lewis, I don't see it. It's a whole, that whole area that everybody lives and they can go to Route 1 anyway. It's just going to bring things closer. You still have downtown. It's a totally different entity, and I think it's a very exciting project. I really do.
Did you get your name again?
Clavey, Kevin.
Thank you. All right, sir. We thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor? All right, then.
Did you want to do your show of hands now? Or
typically request a show of hands of anybody who's in opposition. We can do it either now or after.
This is so if you don't wish to speak, you'll still be counted is why we're taking a count. So if you would, if you're opposed, and we'll get to the in favor here in a second. Got to count those too. Shouldn't take too long, but yeah. I've got an order of how I want to do things. Yeah.
We have faith in you.
Thank you.
56.
Okay. And in favor? We know the applicants are in favor. Okay. Yeah, we got you. All right. Thank you. All right, we're going to take testimony from the opposition now. I want to thank you all for your patience. You've been quite a very cooperative group. What I'd like to do is I would like to give the floor to the city officials of Lewis first, if they intend to speak in opposition, followed by any attorneys who are representing groups. I know Mr. Sergovic is here representing a group. I don't know if there are any, nobody else checked in with me, but they don't have to. Well, first we'll make the podium available to the city of Lewis if anyone from the city council wants to speak.
Thank you. My name is Jim Ford. I'm the mayor of Lewis, live in Lewis, and I have a letter I'd like to submit to the commission for the record and read the letter into the record if possible.
Be my guest.
I'll be very brief with this.
Okay.
Given the opportunity to hear and partake in the presentation this evening, some additional questions have come forward that aren't contained in the letter, but the text of the letter, I think, addresses the general concept of what those questions present and the challenges that we face. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to address you this evening. Over the past few months, the City of Lewis and Sussex County have exchanged numerous correspondence moving forward collectively to address land use and land planning issues. Sussex County has responded very positively towards opening the communication network, and in fact, the first joint planning session between Lewis and Sussex County is scheduled for January 16th in Lewis. Sussex County administration, planners, and councilmen have been very receptive to an open discussion. We're looking forward to taking the initial steps in cooperative land use planning. A correspondence dated December 20th, 2007, which I have attached for the submission for this record, also represents the current position of the City of Lewis regarding proposals before you this evening. In addition to the concerns and considerations contained in this correspondence, I would like to point out the opportunity to gather information regarding stormwater management and the monitoring of water recharge area for the City of Lewis. Upon approval of prior subdivisions and developments fronting Gills Neck Road, known as Breakwater and Cadbury of Lewis, part of the conditions of stormwater management were dictated by an agreement to collect and resupply the area with as much water as possible pertaining to impervious surfaces. Data should be available as to the success or the failure engineered stormwater management system. This information, as well as the soon-to-be-released traffic impact study for the entire area, should be reviewed and evaluated prior to any final decision of the request, particularly since this request pertains to a consideration for a conditional use and a zoning change. Coupled with the fact that the city and the county are embarking on discussion regarding land use, the city respectfully once again requests the final consideration and any formal decision regarding any of these projects be considered after the aforementioned information is gathered and dialogue and discussion can take place. The city reserves the right to modify this position at any time. I thank you for your consideration, and the comments would apply to this presentation as well as the governor's subdivision presentation.
All right, sir.
Thank you.
We thank you. Please, if you would give that to Mr. Lang.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Anyone else from the City of Lewis? Any in an official capacity? Okay. Mr. Sergovic? In the world do you keep in that bag? You can eat a porter.
I know. For the record, my name is John Sergovic, and I'm representing tonight a group of citizens groups and organizations which are in opposition to this application. I have to apologize from the at the outset. My traffic engineer had early morning hearings in Annapolis, and he kept getting bumped all night, so he didn't get to, he left Annapolis at about 10 to 7. So we may have to, I have a letter from him, we may have to hear from general people to see if he gets here. There's nothing I can do about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you certainly can proceed with your comments. If he should happen to show up, we will afford him the opportunity to speak.
Right.
How about that?
All right, that's fine. And if he doesn't get here, we'll just hand up his letter, and Ms. Carmine will just outline it for the public.
That would be fine. Sure, go ahead.
And again, there's another of my clients, named clients, David Ennis and his group, which is the acronym is CALL, or Citizens Advocating a Livable Lewis, and he's apparently tied up with legislative matters. I hope he gets here shortly too. And the other groups I do represent, and the named person for that group is John Matico, and his group is the Managing Growth Around Lewis Coalition. And the final named client I have is the Citizens Coalition, Inc., and their spokesperson is Mr. Tyler. With that introduction, and with all due respect to Mr. Townsend, and Lingos, and Mr. Schrader, and Mr. Ford, one thing that we've heard tonight and we've seen is a nice green and brown plan. That's really not what we're considering. I mean, we're considering the full multitude of uses that could be done in the CR1 district, and you're talking about a use that is over 75,000 square feet, and my traffic report will show that you have a range of shopping centers. And the range of shopping centers, the neighborhood center that serves a small community, is under 75,000 square feet. We're talking about a center here that, without underground parking and other considerations, is 520,000 square feet. That is seven times more than the neighborhood shopping center under the B1 zone. And a B1 zone, if this was truly a neighborhood center, would be 14% of the volume of this area. And why I mention that is something the applicant didn't mention, and it's absolutely critical to this application, is what does the comprehensive land use plan say? Because as we all are reminded, under 6 Del Code, section 6959A, once we've adopted a plan, the county's adopted a plan, we must follow that plan, which has the force of law, at least with respect to the maps or series of maps that's adopted in that plan. The applicant has not shown you how, they didn't mention how conceivably the CR1 zoning request can come into compliance with either the existing plan or the proposed plan. The other thing, before I get into the plans, I want to do one other legal issue. The applicant has filed an application for the conditional use, which is called Governor's. And with that, they proffered money to the county with respect to the density bonus under an ordinance adopted on July, it's in July of 2007. That application, or that ordinance, allows the county to expedite applications for those applications that meet the criteria of Ordinance 1920. That expedition of the hearing applications doesn't apply to the rezoning for CR1, yet we have these two applications coming before you when other applications I filed for applicants have lingered for 2 years. So there is some something amiss in having this application come before you at this time, considering the normal process, which requires applications to be heard in time that they come in. There's another critical consideration for that expedition of hearing this application for SR1 rezoning, and that is, you don't have, my traffic impact consultant doesn't have, the public doesn't have, the traffic impact study. We can't, as a matter of due process, really hear this application. The citizens, my clients, and everybody concerned is fundamentally deprived of a right to comment, because the public hearing is now. We don't have a piece of critical information. And just to tie that into a problem, we all know, we should be sitting under the 2008 plan, because it should have been adopted on January the 1st of 2008. We have the problem that the state did not like the county's proposed 2008 plan, so we have an extension. One of the comments from DelDOT in the critique of the county's plan was that when a traffic impact study is required, the process should stop until that information comes in so that you can make an informed decision and the citizenry can know what's really coming before them. With that comment, I'm going to turn directly to the application and lack of compliance with the critical document that guides this body in making its recommendation. It is unquestioned the Townsend Village Center proposes to consist of 520 plus square feet, which is the type of regional center that is diametrically opposed to the principles of the 2003 plan update. The applicant concedes that the Townsend Village Center is 68.3 acres, located in an environmentally sensitive developing district. The land use element under the 2003 plan update for environmentally sensitive developing districts, or areas rather, provides guidelines for non-residential use. It states, additional commercial uses will be needed in the environmentally sensitive developing areas. These uses should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population. Large-scale shopping centers are not mentioned as being allowed in the environmentally sensitive developing area. Under the zoning code, neighborhood shopping is addressed within the B1 provisions of the zoning ordinance. Article 10, section 11568 provides the B1 neighborhood business district. The purpose of the district is to provide primarily for retail shopping and personal service uses to be developed either as a unit or as an individual parcel to serve the means of a relatively small area, primarily nearby rural, low density, such as Wolf Run, Wolf Point, I guess it's Hawk's Eye, the new proposed subdivision, or medium density residential, the new proposed Governors. That's what the land use plan says in environmentally sensitive districts, neighborhood. Neighborhood shopping. What is the neighborhood shopping district zone limited to? 75,000 square feet, not 5,200 square feet. Because 5,200 square feet gets you into...
We know what he meant.
Regional, I'm sorry if I wasn't in the mic. That gets you into a regional center. The land use plan doesn't propose regional centers. on Kings Highway. If you look at the maps, in the color-coded maps, the commercial districts in both the 2003 plan and additionally in the 2008 plan, the red districts are from Five Points to Dewey. That's the commercial area. There's nothing going from Route 1 to Lewis. I agree with Mr. Ford that this is an arterial road under the state highway mapping. But why is it? It's a major access between the Cape May Ferry and Route 1. That's what makes it an arterial road, important for transient traffic as opposed to localized traffic. We also think that the 2008 plan should assist you in making your recommendation. And the draft 2007 plan at page 20, future use element provides bullet at paragraph 3 bullet, permitted uses. A variety of office uses would be appropriate in many areas. Portions of the developing area with good road access and few nearby homes, should allow for business and industrial parks. Careful mixtures of homes within like commercial and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide for convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. The land use plan, new draft, which is not intended to be substantially different from the 2003 plan, really, when you look at the environmentally sensitive district and uses permitted, it really addresses what we've all heard about as new urbanism. That's the design. New urbanism is kind of a neighborhood shopping center and then, you know, stores inside of residential units, kind of like the Village of Five Points. Not a regional shopping center next to single-family residential housing going from, you know, the high end to the low end. That's not new urbanism. That's land planning from the 1970s. It's the absolute opposite of what the land plan use proposes. No highway commercial area is on the Kings Highway future land use map in the 2007 draft from Route 1 onto Lewis. The law says that once you've adopted a map, which you have in 2003, and the proposed map, both contradict recommending this application. And that's my general legal overview of this, and I will first call Mr. Matico and ask him a few questions, and then we'll see where we are time-wise. Yeah. I think probably the best way is you stand there and I'll ask the questions. Again, Mr. Matico, if you'd introduce yourself.
Good evening. I'm John Matico of Lewis. I'm involved with an organization known as Managing Growth Around Lewis.
And can you give me the scope of that coalition and the objectives?
The objectives, well, to begin with the scope, it's a group of citizens, engineers, architects, developers.
Hang on for a second. Folks are having difficulty hearing you. Yeah, Mr. Sergovic, if you would swing your microphone more toward your toward you, and if you can speak to that one. Pull that out. I think it pulls out some.
All right. Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah.
Very
that's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you. The Managing Growth Coalition is a community-based organization that it consists of business people, architects, developers, engineers, retired people, professionals of all types who live in Lewis and want to see it grow in the same level of character and quality that exists now.
And with respect to your own personal background, what is your professional education and what do you do?
I am a licensed architect in the state of Delaware and five other states. I hold a master's degree in architecture from the University of Illinois at Chicago and the planning coursework for the University of the City of New York in planning.
And do your credentials and background assist you and your organization in evaluating the towns and village and governor's projects?
I believe they do. There's a tremendous overlap between the purely professional work I engage in as a member of the Delaware chapter of the American Institute of Architects. I have, for the past 3 years, been asked to chair their Sustainable Planning and Architecture annual seminar, and the work of the Citizens Group.
Okay. And what are your concerns with the southerly road approach to Lewis on Kings Highway with this project?
Well, it won't come of any surprise, and I think everyone this evening walked in here realizing that it's the traffic. It's too big. In a layperson's terms, it's not 10 pounds, but probably 20 pounds of traffic in a 5-pound sack. And that would be the way the comprehensive plan of Sussex County would also describe it. It's several magnitudes larger than prescribed by the code.
And do you have concerns with respect to existing Lewis merchants and existing retail outlets on Route 1?
Tremendously so. The history of unfortunate history, which you gentlemen, I'm sure, are aware of, around Delaware, but all across the United States, when large shopping centers of this type are put in, they suck the oxygen out of the local economy. There is a great danger, and I've heard this from the local merchants in the downtown Lewis, that it will simply be degraded in quality for a number of reasons, not only the economic competition, but the denigration of the quality of historic Lewis, which is what sets it apart. That's its economic advantage. Without that, it is at a severe disadvantage from its present condition.
Do you also have concerns with respect to a regional commercial center being directly across the street from the regional high school?
Of course, I think we're all aware of the number of fatalities that occur in Delaware where we have situations like that. It's a tremendous attraction. We've all been in a high school situation, and to get to the mall would be honey to the bees, right? It needs to be extraordinarily clear that this is a public safety situation with huge volumes of traffic and teenagers crossing the street in droves.
Okay. You've reviewed the 2003 comp plan and the draft 2000. Does that follow what I was talking about earlier about new urbanism, pedestrian friendly, residents in close proximity to village centers?
It certainly does, and the Sussex County Code is to be commended for that. It is very clear in mandating in a site like this neighborhood convenience shopping for the immediate neighborhood, and it further goes on to make perfectly clear that it should be provided in what are called village clusters. Perhaps that's the rationale for calling this Townsend Village Center instead of Townsend Regional Shopping Center or something like that.
And is this plan compliant in any way with the comprehensive plan of 2003 as you read it or the maps?
No, it is not. It is the opposite, and in fact, it is diametrically opposed to what is mentioned in the plan.
And do you have any familiarity, or have you studied the emergency evacuation routes and or ambulance access into BB Hospital?
Yeah. The preferred evacuation route is on King's Highway, and the ambulance route to BB Hospital, there are two, the Savannah Road and King's Highway. Now, it used to be that there was an understanding between emergency providers and the hospital and the city to try to favor Savannah Road, but I've been given to understand that with the increasing congestion around the Five Points area and the increase in stoplights that have been added in that area, that there is more of a mix now on King's Highway. The problem, of course, is that the ambulance usage is highest in the summer months, when King's Highway virtually loses mobility. Now, everyone who lives in Lewis or visits it in July and August knows not to try to take King's Highway out of town. You go around it, because you'll be stuck there for at least a half mile backup. Now, bear in mind, that's the condition without the build-out of the developments already approved or contemplated.
We heard Mr. Ford rattle off some uses along King's Highway. Is there any 5,200 square feet center along King's Highway?
It's a mystery to us. It must be hiding. These are mom and pop stores.
And is there also an agricultural preservation district within right across the street from, on Gilsneck Road?
Yes, there is. The Louder Mitchell Farm.
And is there also the institutional use that we mentioned before right across the street also?
Yes, the high school.
And the high school's traffic is going to intersect with traffic coming off of Gilsneck Road in this center at the proposed light?
Yes, it will.
And as an architect and land use person, is there anything village-like about a 520,000 square feet?
Let me stop you here for a second, Mr. Turkovic. You're a lawyer, not a mathematician. We all understand that. But I want you and I engage in a little exercise here, okay? 520, go ahead.
520,000.
Good. 520,000 square feet. Okay. All right.
Is there anything village-like about that?
No, you know, it's about half the state of Delaware. That's a huge catchment area for a shopping center of this scale. It concentrates destination shoppers from all over Sussex County, lower Kent County, and brings them into an environmentally sensitive designated area in a gem of a town, the birthplace of Sussex and the state of Delaware, with its narrow streets, narrow neighborhoods, and funnels that traffic through there. There is nothing village-like about this. In a way, the gentleman who spoke a few moments ago, who was the landscaper for the applicant, may have put it well in his own way. He said, speaking of vegetation and landscaping, that the applicant likes to integrate into the surrounding community. What this shopping center traffic is going to do is integrate into the entire fabric of Lewis. Traffic will act on those small streets like water seeking its own level. And it will simply inundate what are now sleepy, quiet streets that have no possibility of gaining further capacity because of their historic nature and the narrow streets.
Is there anything else you'd like to add besides my questions?
I would like to point out one thing here, that this could be a very, very good project, in my opinion. You have to simply be willing to say the shopping center is out. Regional shopping centers are just out. Because it doesn't make sense. The other reason is the code doesn't allow it. But the issue of scale, the second, what works? Let me just point out the areas of scale we're talking about. The typical rule of thumb for the smart growth, new urbanism type of approach, which is what the code of Sussex County requires, neighborhood-scaled village shopping. It is universally accepted in planning circles that people can walk about a quarter of a mile, 1,500 feet area, you know, something like that. Let me just show you what Mr. Ford pointed out was 1,500 feet.
Clay Road to Gilsnap Road. Now, this is this vast area into here. Mr. Chairman, could you request that this display be placed up here?
Thank you. Sure.
Done.
Mr. Sergovic, would you put that display up here, please? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
So in terms of planning as required by the Sussex County Code for neighborhood shopping, and neighborhood is understood in the planning literature about a quarter of a mile. We could grant that they could be a little further, but just in order of magnitudes, look at what we're talking about. Can everyone see?
Yeah.
That's it. By Mr. Ford's statement, let's move this around so everyone can see. By Mr. Ford's statement about a half hour ago, the distance between Clay Road and Gilsnap Road was about 1,500 feet. You recall that. So that is the measure. It's a rule, if you will, scale of what we're talking about in neighborhood walkability. That's how far people can get to. So compare that to this whole thing that's going on here. This, in smart growth or new urbanism, would not be on the edge as a 1950s, 1960s, 1970s commercial strip. A small area, tiny fraction, would be located in the center. You might argue that it should be over here to be a little closer to some of these others, but it would not be on this edge, because this is for people from all the way over on the other side of, out of Georgetown. All of Sussex County is coming to this. It's a destination. It's a created demand.
Mr. Matico, I need to ask you to address your comments to the commission, not to the public.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Keep going. You're good. You're doing fine. You just need to be speaking with us.
Let me close here by reading to you, if I may, something addressed to the committee here by someone I know you're familiar with, Randall Arendt. And he actually presented a letter to be entered into this record. Let me just read excerpts of this. With regard to the present application for the Townsend Village Center, I offer the following professional observations. Rezonings are discretionary matters, not entitlements,
and require the commission to weigh the facts of each case and to render decisions consistent with its established policies in the public interest. Rezoning should always be consistent with officially adopted comprehensive plan policies. This is why applicants often go to the trouble of seeking comp plan amendments before requesting rezonings. Because there are so many really important basic questions to be addressed, analyzed, and answered, it seems to me that this major rezoning request could take several months to thoroughly, in a professional manner, review and in the public interest. Apparently, the DLDOT cumulative traffic analysis has not been completed by that agency, nor has it been made publicly available to date. Only after that highly relevant traffic data is in hand and time has been provided for its review can one definitively determine what kind of transportation improvements should be required of the applicant as part of the consideration of any rezoning request. Without access to the basic traffic data to inform and guide the public decision making, it seems to be extremely premature to consider an application for such a large-scale development, which can reasonably be expected to produce very significant long-term effects. The city of Lewis is the gem of Delaware. It has existed for 376 years. It's in that new bestseller book, One of the Thousand Places to Visit Before You Die. We don't want it to be the cheap joke, one of the places to visit before it was destroyed by a regional shopping center. Please realize the severity of the impact of a regional shopping center, but you will be hearing from traffic engineers as we go forward. Thank you.
All right, sir.
I'd next like to call David Ennis.
Okay.
John, excuse me. Mr. Matico, you said you had a comment from Randall.
Did you want to enter that letter into the record, if you would hand it up, please? Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have your comments as well in writing?
Yeah. No, I'm afraid you have to have this in the record.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. Sometimes it helps, Mr. Lank, if you had an outline or if any of the speakers have an outline.
Yeah, I beg a lot when it comes to long statements.
Mr. Ennis.
I got him.
Okay.
Mr. Good evening. Ennis, introduce yourself and your organization and your background in land use in and around Lewis.
My name is David Ennis. I was here a month ago to talk about another section of our community that we were concerned about. I am a participant in a group in Lewis known as CALL, Citizens Advocating a Livable Lewis. That particular organization is only about 2 years old, but it was a successor to an organization known as CATS, Citizens Against Town Sprawl. Now, it has nothing to do with the animals, but we would admit to you that the combined organizations have been around for about 9 or 10 years. The issue that most of us are concerned about is overgrowth. We have spent a great deal of time being concerned about the development around New Road, an issue of a high visibility and low water, or high water and low land, if you will. So there's many issues we've been concerned about. We've recently joined with other community residents to form the Coalition of Managing Growth Around Lewis. I think John has asked me to suggest that I might have some history and experiences in that I served in the General Assembly for 24 years in the Delaware House. That does not make me any smarter than anybody else in the room. But I can tell you it does give me some living history, and since I'm probably older than a great many of the members on the panel, I have some history that I do think would be of interest to you in other parts of the state.
Yes, if you could turn to your experience as a legislator with respect to catastrophes that happened between the regional shopping center and Dell State.
Well, many of you may be familiar with the fact that Dover, when I used to come down to Sussex County to fish, we saw the Blue Hen Mall. It was a wonderful addition to the greater Dover area. It helped kill downtown Dover. But when they built the Dover Mall, it added to that circle of decline.
It also killed the Bluehead Mall.
It did kill the Bluehead Mall. But the matter of fact is that the students from Delaware State found themselves running traffic lines across the street, and several were injured. I believe at least one student was killed. We listened as a legislature to the university officials trying to figure out how to diminish the attractive nuisance, everything from tunnels to bridges. And if you go that way today, you'll know there's no bridges and there's no tunnels. But the consequences are still very dire. I can also report to you that in the city of Wilmington, we had students killed in neighborhoods where they crossed high-speed traffic lanes, and we had to put bridges up because the community was so adamant. I can also tell you that on the Concord Pike, where there's also a public school system and libraries, students are hit quite frequently. So the combination of the attractive nuisance of a shopping center as compared to the vacancy of a farm field, I believe will add substantially to the public safety risk for the students there.
And I've also asked you, because the second application is the cluster, which apparently is the reason why we're expediting this highway commercial. As a legislator, do you have a comment on this, the whole concept, the economic incentive for the developer?
I have, in my years with the legislature, we've seen a lot of very good ideas turn into sour problems because of the way they were manipulated. I would not say that I disagree with the idea of having economic compensation to offset some development growth, but I do have personal concerns that that could lead to what might be considered the selling of the rights to build. And there's a great concern in our community that that concept would be applied to this project. From a personal point of view, I don't have any question of the integrity of the people who came up with the idea or the idea that is working. There are some dollars flowing into the county. But I do have a concern about the protection of the city of Lewis and having something as close to that town as what we're going to see having a devastating effect on the business community. And I cannot see any amount of money that would offset for that destruction of that town.
And do you have anything else?
Yeah, I do have one other point I'd like to share with you. I'm very wet tonight, and it took a very short distance between my car and the door to get into this building tonight. But I also want to tell you that on July 5th of 1989, I had a woman who was standing at a bus stop on Washington Street Extension, and a storm came on that day, and 4.5 inches of rain fell, and the story does, and Matson Run Parkway rose up 12 feet and swept that woman to her death. 2 weeks later, a young boy was killed in my district when the Shellpot Creek rose up and blew off a bridge in Shipley Road right by Rockwood Museum, and his Volkswagen went into the ditch and was found a quarter mile down. I am deeply concerned that as I read some of the documents for this project, that water will be a huge problem, and that the discussion of integrating solutions for already existing projects that are out on the field and integrating it into this this joint project is further going to complicate it. And I am really asking you to give very long and hard look at the whole issue of drainage. We are deeply impacted at, on the other side of Lewis by New Road, and there are days we can't cross the New Road Bridge. There are days we can't cross Pilot Town to get out to the fishing bridge by the Coast Guard station. So I just offer to you that. And I think as an example, the fact that there is a serious problem, and I may be mistaken, but we had a witness from one of our other meetings that said that the Sussex County shelter for Lewis is on the edge of Georgetown. And I asked a county official, was it because we didn't have a safe structure? And his answer to me was no. It had nothing to do with the structure. It had to do with the water. And my question to you is, there are some mathematical models that I would think you could acquire from computer services that would allow you to take the 10 heaviest rains we've had in the last 10 years. If I'm not mistaken, Seaford had something like 12 inches of rain in a very short period of time. I would love to see that model run against this composite project, all three pieces. And if you can do that, I'd love to see the results. I thank you for listening, and I knew that you have more people coming. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you.
No, we'll do them last. My traffic expert actually got here from Annapolis.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
just introduce yourself and give the commission your background and what you've been able to find out in a short period of time.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to apologize for being here late this evening. I had a hearing that ran over today. And
you're on time. The man called you up. You're up here.
I'm here. So, and I'm not wet. I had an umbrella, so that was nice.
Can you give your background?
Yes. I'm a registered professional engineer, registered professional traffic operations engineer. I have a master's degree from University of Maryland in traffic engineering and transportation planning. Over 20 years of experience, 10 years of which was with the Maryland State Highway Administration, served as the division chief for the entire state of Maryland for their access permits department.
Mr. Servey, and sir, if you could.
We haven't gotten your name yet.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Let me back up then. My name is Michael Lenhart.
Okay, thank you.
And your company is?
Lenhart Traffic Consulting.
And you're located where?
Millersville, Maryland.
All right.
And 2 years of which I was in charge of the statewide access permits division for Maryland. So I'm very familiar with the public agency side of traffic impact study review, rezoning reviews, conditional use applications. For the past 8 years, I've been in the private sector, and the 2.5 of those past year have been with my own firm. So I'm very familiar with both the public and private side of the development review.
And with respect to this project, did we contact you within like the last 2 weeks to ask you to find out what you could about the
yes.
project and the traffic?
Yes, it was right around the holidays I was contacted to come in and provide consultation on behalf of the citizens and the groups that the Call and CATS groups for the Lewis area.
And with respect to trying to find information
for Mr. Schrader,
With respect to the information, what could you ascertain and did that limit your ability to give a report?
Well, I contacted Orth Rogers and requested a copy of the traffic impact studies, and that was about it was just before the holidays, and received a call back from them last week stating that they were not going to be able to provide a copy of the study. Also contacted DLDOT, Mr. Bill Brockenbrow, and Ted Bishop with DLDOT on numerous occasions, and they said that they would not release any traffic information until the reviews were complete. So we have not been able to obtain any information to ascertain what the studies show, what the impacts are on the road systems, and exactly what impacts this project would have.
And can you make an informed decision about traffic without those studies and being able to review them and comment on them as to whether you agree with their expert analysis or disagree with it?
Well, yes. We undertook, due to the short time frame, a very brief analysis, and we focused on several things. First, we looked at the comprehensive plan, the current comprehensive plan, the draft comprehensive plan, which is not yet approved, but we also looked at the zoning code, and we compared those things against the site plan, and also looked at the ITE, which is the Institute for Transportation Engineers Trip Generation Manual, and prepared a brief report in consideration of all that information.
And on page 2 of your report, can you just summarize what your review of the comp plan was and the compliance or lack of compliance with this CR1 zoning application?
Yes. As you know, the site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area as defined in the comp plan. And looking at the comp plan, they state several things about the environmentally sensitive developing area, and that is that, and I'll quote from page 14 of the comp plan, the purpose of the environmentally sensitive developing area is to recognize that the inland bays of Sussex County are a major resource of the county and must be protected from insensitive development. It further states on page 14 that environmentally sensitive developing areas can be defined as a developing district with some or special environmental design and protection requirements. And that it notes that recent development has increased traffic congestion and caused roadway system inadequacies along numerous arterials in the county.
And can you just go on to page 15 of your review of the comp plan?
Yes, page 15 of the comp plan then states that State Route 1 primarily serves the coastal developing area and that it is already subject to seasonal traffic congestion, that transportation improvements would be required to accommodate any future growth. And the most important thing, though, that we noted in the comp plan is that in the environmentally sensitive developing area, any uses for commercial or retail uses should be, and I'll quote this, these uses should be limited to neighborhood shopping and business to serve the rapidly expanding population. Village-scale shopping centers are the preferred location for these services. Now, again, that's neighborhood-style shopping centers. And I'll go on to provide some.
Yeah, that point's already been made. You guys are starting to get a little repetitive.
Well, I don't mean to be repetitive, but I think the Exhibit 1 analysis ties into the plan with respect to neighborhood shopping centers, village shopping centers.
Right.
Mike, if you could turn it to your exhibits.
Right. The Institute for Transportation Engineers suggests that there or defines neighborhood shopping centers as centers that range from up to 100,000 square feet, with the typical size around 50,000 square feet. Community-style centers are slightly larger, averaging about 150,000 square feet, and can range up to around 400,000 square feet. And then the regional shopping centers typically average about 450,000 square feet and can range from 300 to 850,000 square feet. And that's really what this is. This falls squarely in the definition of a regional shopping center by the ITE Trip Generation Manual. And that's a nationally accepted manual and applied across jurisdictions across the country.
And with respect to that, those studies, can you give the commission the analysis with respect to bypass traffic and new traffic coming in?
Yes, it'd be easiest if you'd turn back to
Exhibit 2.
Exhibit 1 simply shows pass-by trips. If you look at Exhibit 1, I have across the bottom axis, it's the size of the shopping center from 0 up to 1.2 million square feet across the bottom. What's shown in the green range from 0 to 100 is the neighborhood shopping center. The yellow is the community shopping center. The orange is the regional shopping center.
Except ours is in black and white.
It's black and white.
It's going from,
it's going from left to right.
Going from left to right.
We figured it out.
Yeah. Neighborhood is 0 to 100.
Not only that, Mr. Smith's colorblind. So
well, if you look across the bottom, the neighborhood would be the 0 to 100, and the regional would be 300 to 850. This center falls in, as I understand, right around
520.
I did my analysis.
I've been not a mathematician. I agree.
I've seen some conflicting information on records, so I did my analysis based on 470. But if you look at 520, what this graph shows you for a neighborhood shopping center, this is pass-by rate. This indicates that for smaller centers, it has a much higher pass-by capture for traffic that's already on the road network. People driving from home to work, and they stop by to get some milk or whatever for their, you know, that type of use. And that captures local trips that are already there, people that live in the community. As you go up on that scale and you get into the 500, 600,000 range, you're talking about regional centers. And what this graph shows is that the pass-by capture drops off significantly. Where the neighborhood captures roughly 50% of pass-by traffic. 50% of those trips are pass-by trips that are already on the street in the neighborhood. When you get into the regional center, that drops to about 25% for this size center. So not only is it generating a lot more traffic, but the traffic it generates is more of it is coming from out of the area rather than serving the local needs of the community. And it has a much, as a result, has a much larger impact on roads off the site, State Route 1, going out Route 9, and areas as you get away from the site.
In Exhibit 2, did you compare trips per day generation with the existing AR1 zone?
Yes.
At two residential units per acre and its trips per day compared to the regional commercial shopping center?
Yes. The current zoning could generate 136 dwelling units maximum under the current zoning. That's 1,380 trips per day. The proposed center, and I measured this at 470,000 square feet. If it's 520, it's going to be even higher than this, but generates a total of 18,000 trips, over 18,000 trips per day. Now, that's total. That's new and pass-by, but we subtract out the pass-by, and it generates 14,000 new trips compared to the existing zoning, which is just over 1,000 trips. When you look at the total application, it's it's nearly 13,000 trips difference between the current proposal, the current zoning. That's an increase of almost 1,000% in the daily traffic that's generated by this project. Now, I think that I understand that the traffic impact study is in at DelDOT, and the folks I spoke with at DelDOT confirmed that. However, they said that they have been requested to focus on the Schofield impact study as a first priority and Townsend Village Center as a second priority.
Requested by whom?
I don't know who requested that. Mr. Ted Bishop at DelDOT told me that, I don't know if it came from the town of Lewis or from the applicant or a combination thereof, but I understand that the Lewis Planning Commission was having a meeting coming up. This is what he explained to me, and that he was trying to get some information ready for their hearing for Schofield.
Okay.
And that they have not gotten as far along in the impact study review process for Townsend Village Center. They do have a meeting set up, he told me that, but they have not issued findings yet. And as a part of your review, I think it's critical that you understand. I mean, we just look at this, 12,000 additional trips from what they're proposing to the current zoning. I think it would be critical for you to understand exactly what the impact is, what road improvements would be needed in terms of peak hour trips, because this is daily trips. It's a little different than peak hour, but it's still a significant difference. And I know in my own experience, there's been times where you might do an analysis and you find that you need to do certain improvements to mitigate your impact, because this really we're looking at making conditions no worse here than what they are. They need to be able to mitigate their impact. And in order to do that, there may be unfeasible improvements. They may not be able to physically fit the improvements that are necessary. You're familiar how congested Route 1 is today. Add another 13,000 trips. Now, not all of those are going to go out to Route 1, but a large portion of them would. This is a regional center. That's where the traffic's going to be oriented primarily to and from.
All right. In Exhibit 3 of your letter, did you do some comparative attempt to do some cumulative comparative analysis?
I did. We obtained the 2006 average daily traffic volumes on Route 9 in front of the project, right at Clay Road. And the 2006 daily volumes were 16,751. And this is a very basic look at things, but we looked at the Senator's project, which is 242 single family, Schofield, which is 600 single family, Governor's, which is 472 single family. those three projects between them will generate around 12,000 trips per day. And if you look at the access, ways in and out, how are they going to come in and out? There's really only two ways on Gills Neck Road. You come out the front door toward Route 1, or you go out the back door, which is really not a really desirable way to send 13,000 trips per day, 12,000 trips per day for that new residential traffic. So just in looking at this, we're looking at the existing ADT of, well, I'm jumping to the next exhibit.
Just complete your analysis of Exhibit 3.
If you add the existing ADT, 16,700 vehicles, add in the ADT for the residential, that's another 12,000, add in 13,000 for the shopping center, you're up around 40,000 ADT, which is significant volume of traffic. Now, again, this was done very quickly. Not all of that traffic is going to be oriented to Route 1 on Route 9, but I believe that the bulk of it will be, because that's the primary way in and out. And therefore, we could be looking at going from 16,000 vehicles per day today to 30 to 40,000 vehicles per day on that section of road in the build-out of these projects, which is a significant impact, particularly when you have today 52 to 60,000 vehicles per day on Route 1. And today, that's converging with 16,000 vehicles per day at the intersection of Route 9 and Route 1. Add those additional trips generated by these developments to that intersection, and you significantly compound the congestion at that location.
Yeah, let me just go through your bullet points.
Yes.
On you've observed that the environmentally sensitive district talks about limiting impacts on the environment. The CR1 requires 20% additional parking. Does that increase impervious areas in the
Yes, the CR1 requires the 20% increase in parking. It doesn't really state why, but I believe that it's because when you get into that large regional type shopping center, the typical shopping trips for those types of users, small centers, people go in, they get their milk, they go. As the center gets a little bit bigger, people go in, they park, they stay longer, they shop around, they browse, they do more things at once. So they park longer, so the parking needs require or increase. So yes.
Is there a significant impervious area suggested by this application?
Yes. The PLUS report, in the discussion of the PLUS report, DelDOT and the applicant went back and forth, and the applicant indicated that there would be a minimum of 61% impervious area on this site, and then further stated that based on design requirements, that could possibly be increased up to 80% impervious area. And the PLUS report then, someone for the Soil Conservation Service noted in there that there is a technical release that compares shopping centers of this type, and that the average impervious area for centers of this type is 85%.
And also with respect, the CR1 has a significantly larger allowed square footage than the neighborhood center.
Significantly, yes. The neighborhood, the comp plan talks about neighborhood. That matches with the zoning code B1 category, which suggests 75,000 maximum square feet, and it matches with the ITE data in the definition of shopping center.
And we got that the first six times you said it. It's 9 o'clock, gentlemen. Let's go.
Mr. Wheatley, I would like to point out, though, I understand the concern to keep it moving, but to the extent that I think this gentleman's been offered as an expert, we should allow him to
complete his report.
All right.
And also, did you formulate an opinion based upon your background as to why SR9 in this area is designated as an arterial road?
Yes. SR9, and I was unable to find this in any of the documentation on the description why it's designated as a primary arterial. If you look at that compared to Route 1, they're two totally different roadways. However, on all of the maps, it shows State Route 9 as primary arterial down to the terminal ferry, and then it even shows the ferry going across the bay. And I believe that the reason that it's designated as a primary arterial is because of the ferry connection, the regional importance of that that transportation route.
And without a full traffic impact study, can you give this commission a full report, or can they have a full analysis?
I can't give you a formal assessment because I can't tell you that there are improvements that can be done. I can tell you, in my opinion, I don't think this is compliant with the comprehensive plan, and I believe that there would be a significant impact to this that would be very difficult for both environmentally, and I'm not an environmental expert, but from a traffic point of view, I believe that it would be very difficult to mitigate this to the satisfaction of health, safety, and welfare of the public. But I don't have any data to review to be able to say that.
And if the commission would like to ask this gentleman any questions, it would probably be appropriate now.
All right.
Because he did have to come up from Annapolis, and I'm sure he's pretty tired.
And we appreciate that, and I apologize for being so short with you. Mr. Johnson gave me a piece of candy. I feel better now, so.
Blood sugar's
okay. So my blood sugar's back up, so we're going to let you finish. Does anyone have a question for Mr. Lenhart? Okay.
And I'm going to ask him to be excused because there's no cross-examination or anything
correct.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'd like to get back.
I would imagine he would.
I'm sure he had a long night. The last formal witness I'm calling is Mr. Tyler, and rather than do an examination thing, I'm going to sit down next to Mr. Ford because we're back starting.
Okay. Well, I imagine Mr. Tyler can probably handle it on his own. He's been here once or twice.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Michael Tyler, and for the record, I'm a Lewis resident and president of Citizens Coalition, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 organization incorporated in the state of Delaware. Before I start, I want to make one comment. They talked about having bicycle lanes, and I noticed as a cycling advocate for Sussex cyclists, there are cycling lanes in what's called Hawk's Eye, which are counterintuitive to the way bicycle lanes should be put in. They have a lane for bicycle traffic on one side for cyclists going both way on a street. Cycling against traffic is against state law, yet what they're showing is a bicycle lane with arrows going both ways. So if they're advocating that kind of thing throughout these other ones, they're not following the appropriate use of a bike lane. Okay, enough said. Secondly, I want to show you something. There are 1,700 names on this petition. This is a petition that in 1994 I brought before this commission and county council, and we managed to defeat Tanger Outlets that wanted to add 18 acres of commercial that would have been in our gateway at the mouth of Kings Highway. There's another petition that's going around right now, and I'm sure we'll be able to beat 1,700 names. It's hard to believe that more than 13 years ago I stood before this commission and later county council, and that was 300,000 square feet that was denied, and that was right at that intersection of Rolling Meadows Road there, and Dartmouth Road and Kings Highway. Today we are again faced with an application to change AR1 land to CR1, and again we believe it will have serious negative impact on Lewis and its important gateway. Further, we believe that this represents, and you've heard this, an affront to good planning and a use that goes against the current land use plan, as well as a revision still in draft form. According to the current land use plan, commercial uses in the environmentally sensitive district, in quotes, should be limited to neighborhood shopping and businesses to serve the rapidly expanding population. Admittedly, the wording is weak because words shall and must are not used. However, the location is still environmentally sensitive, and a commercial development of this scale cannot benefit the environment or the people who are also part of that environment. Another concern is that King's Highway is not a major arterial road in the strict sense. You know, that was named a major arterial in 1991, and nobody's looked back at that. And it only is a major arterial, of course, up to this outskirts or the outer limit of Lewis. And primarily, I'm sure, it was named that because of the ferry. And that was the only reason to name that a major arterial. But in the strict sense of the word, I don't believe it is a major arterial. And in fact, it's really a gateway, because it's a gateway not only to historic Lewis, but the Cape Henlopen State Park and the Cape May Lewis Ferry. And as such, a gateway road requires extra protection from massive commercial intrusions such as this application in order to maintain traffic flow and carrying capacity. I mean, nobody's talked about carrying capacity here. Consider the fact that more than 1 million cars use King's Highway every year. That's just to the state park. They have had over 1 million visitors, and over 700,000 people have used the Cape May Ferry last year. Yet another serious consideration should be brought to bear on this commercial request. The village of Five Points is exactly 1 mile. I checked it today. When I left the entrance of the village of Five Points to the end of Clay Road, it's 1 mile. Why do we need to have another village center within a mile of each other? I can't fathom it. The village of Five Points, 1 mile to the proposed entrance, already serves local and regional customers with a supermarket and many other services. What benefit would another commercial hub bring to the community? My answer is none. If you add the cumulative impact of the village of Five Points with the vineyards on Route 9, which is another commercial mecca, how much commercial gridlock do we need to tell us that this site is ill-advised? The area is already on commercial overload. This site will not serve the community and represents superfluous development to appease the developer. As a member of the state, remember this one, I've waved this one before you before too. The State Route 1 Land Transportation Study in 2003. You guys need to read this. This is important.
Tyler, I resent the implication okay. that we have
no,
it read.
No, but I mean, you need to look at it again in view of what,
although
what's happening.
Although we may not have, but
yeah,
I
you know, I was part of this and helped draft it. In fact, there's somebody in the back here, Bobby Geyer, was part of this. There was an emphatic comment not to permit any commercial town center east of Route 1. Several members of the committee, and in particular a Lewis City Councilman, expressed the concern that Lewis is already a town center and we didn't need another one on our doorstep. That's in the public record. According to that study, 5 multi-use activity centers were identified, and one was placed along King's Highway. But I suggest the proximity of the Townsend site to the village of Five Points negates creating another commercial hub. The plan also stated that land outside the activity centers would develop at a reduced density of 1 dwelling unit per acre, and the rest of the units allowed under zoning and expanded development district would transfer into the center, and the greater density within the centers would compensate for reduced density. Finally, it states commercial development would develop according to the current zoning. This is not being developed according to the current zoning. Other concerns loom. You've heard this. Impervious surface of asphalt and buildings posing an imminent threat. In fact, in the face of development in Hokas, and I know I've told you this before, 35 years ago, I remember when the water stopped. It didn't come out of the faucets because development hampered water recharge and folks living in higher locations had no water. No water, no people. We cannot afford to continue to cover critical recharge land and expect the water supply to continue as if nothing has occurred. Traffic, I'm sure you're going to hear a lot about traffic and you heard a lot about it from this engineer, but it creates air pollution, health. It reduces our quality of life, welfare. And it creates dangerous driving conditions, safety. A large commercial complex in this area runs counter to good planning and long-range vision for the well-being of the residents of Sussex County. With the current land use plan still being formulated and with so much at stake to protect our water resources, my property rights, and reduce commercial sprawl and sustainable growth, I ask you to recommend denial of this application as presented to you today, and I'll submit this for public
record. Please. Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you. I'm sure I'll be before you again.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
That concludes our formal opposition to the application.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you and appreciate that. Now, all of you have been tremendously patient. We appreciate it. Anyone that wants to speak is going to be afforded an opportunity. I would just ask you to try not to be too repetitive, okay, because we've heard a number of things. Now, are there any other attorneys present or anyone representing a group? Mr. Anthony.